Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
People who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Got a lot of hockey to get to, and we will get to it. But I thought we'd start with what we've been doing most of the week, and that is football, Maz, because I think things continue to percolate. Things continue to percolate.
I mean, if you're talking about a week before the start of the new league year, to have the kind of movement they're having right now, I mean, you tell me. I don't remember it being quite like that.
I think there's movement. I think there's movement coming. Movement's a good word. Because I think there's guys coming and guys going, and how it all fits together I think is interesting. And so the jumping off point to me is the Michael Bennett thing from yesterday. The Michael Bennett thing from yesterday, Ian Rappaport says the Patriots got in, but they got in late and lost the player, even though their offer may have been better than the Philadelphia Eagles, or was better than the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, that story has subsequently been shot down kind of by Greg Bedard. We can get into that, but it's still a jumping off point, because if they were looking at Bennett, Murray, and Maz, doesn't mean someone's out. Like, something is going to give. They can fit them all under the cap, but they won't, because we just know how they operate. And most teams operate. Something comes in, something goes out. So if they're signing Bennett, what that says to me is that Cooks or Solder aren't here next year. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yes. Yes. Look, if you go by how the Patriots have done things in the past, they're not going to load up and just, you know, hit the number on some particular year and mortgage themselves for the future.
Something always has to give.
No, they don't do it that way. Now, look, what do I think? I think Cooks is gone. I think Cooks is gone. Now, the Bennett thing, some of that news I call bullcrap on. Like, when I heard that they got in late and they offered a third and fifth, and the reason they didn't get Michael Bennett is because they came in late, bull. Bull.
You don't believe it?
No, I don't. What I believe is that the Patriots were involved, but in order to execute the deal, they wanted Bennett to restructure, or there's some other detail there that we're not getting. I believe that they were in on Bennett. I do. I believe that. But I believe that they were in on it conditionally.
Right.
Like, he would, and to me, I just think sometimes when you find stuff like this out, there's always a detail that's left out.
Right.
There's something somebody's not telling you. And I have a hard time believing the Patriots would have made that kind of deal for that kind of player without wanting to redo the contract. I have a hard time believing that. So to me, that's the piece that's being left out. And I would say the same of Sherman or Rakib Tlaib. They're not bringing those guys in on $11 million.
Right.
No way. Do they want the player? Sure. Could either one of them end up here? Absolutely.
But it's going to be on their terms.
Absolutely. That's right, Murray. Again, even Revis. Revis, to a large degree, was on their terms. Now, he got a good chunk of money, but it was for 1 year.
Do you think things have changed this year?
No, not really.
Are conditions changing with the urgency and the window and all of those things?
I mean, a little bit, yes, but not to the point where all of a sudden they would throw every foundational belief they have out the window. I just don't believe that. So again, and this plays into the cornerback thing, which we can get to in a little bit. But I think the Patriots are going to be trying to make significant moves. I just don't think they're going to break the bank to do it.
Yeah, there's more whittling to be done here, and it'll be lesser names. Like Dwayne Allen, he's probably going to be gone, and it'll be lesser names. But the Cooks thing, that to me is real. And I feel like they are going to try to move him to free up some of this money, and hopefully it is for Nate Solder, because I think he is that important to bring back. But the thing, and I mentioned it yesterday too, that he was even here in the first place just makes me mad. You're going to move on from him after 1 year? So it's another assessment that Bill Belichick got wrong in terms of a personnel decision over the last year. You thought too highly of this guy in the first place. You moved a first-round pick for him that you could have probably got, you know, moved down, got a couple of threes or whatever, and helped shore up the defense because you had a ton of holes in it, obviously, as you look at the Super Bowl a month ago. And you made that deal for what? For 1 year, this guy? And he really didn't even help all that much? Like, I don't know. I thought he was going to be able to contribute a hell of a lot more. If they move on from him after a year, that's going to be a thorn in my side. Because it should have never happened in the first place.
This is nothing more than my gut, but I think Solder won't be re-signed.
Really?
I think Solder's gone. Because I think his number's going to be ridiculous. And again, I just see this. We have an ESPN insider story that... Do any of you cheapskates sign up for that? Because I'm too cheap to sign up for it.
Yeah, I'm a subscriber. Yeah.
Do you have it?
This is just, these are headline.
Okay, that story I linked to before where they gave up prospective deals, what they think each free agent's going to sign for. Tell me what they have for Nate Solder. Because, well, I mean, just look at it here. When you look at the list, or any list out there of the best free agents available on the market, and I have one from Pro Football Talk right here, okay? I have Pro Football Talk. Let me give you their list, all right? And I'll stop when I get to Solder. Number one is Drew Brees. Is he on the market or going anywhere?
No. No. He's staying with the Saints.
Okay. Kirk Cousins is number two. Fine. Le'Veon Bell is number three. He's been franchised. So take him off. DeMarcus Lawrence is number four of the Cowboys. He's been franchised. Take him off the list. Their number five free agent, according to Pro Football Talk, is offensive guard Andrew Norwell. Their number six free agent is Vikings quarterback Case Keenum. Their seventh is wide receiver from Jacksonville, Allen Robinson. Their eighth is Lions defensive end Ezekiel Ansah, who has been franchised, so take him off the list. Number nine is Rams corner Tremaine Johnson. Number 10 is Rams safety LaMarcus Joyner, who's been franchised. Take him off the list. Number 11 is Nate Solder. So let's do this. Let's take out the franchise guys. So there's four gone there. And let's take out the quarterbacks. There's another one, two, three. If you take out the franchise guys and the quarterbacks, Nate Solder is the fourth-ranked free agent on their list. Number four, if I have that right. Norwell, Robinson, Tremaine Johnson, Nate Solder. If you take out the franchise guys and the quarterbacks, Nate Solder is the fourth-ranked free agent on the Pro Football Talk list. What is the prospective deal that they have on that ESPN Insider story?
4 years, $49 million.
12 and a quarter.
Ha! You think the Pats are going to sign Nate Solder at this point to four times 12 and a quarter?
I doubt it. So the only variable there is, and you know, I'm getting into off-field stuff now, but will Solder take a little bit less to stay here because of the issues with his kids, or kid, his youngest, I think, and the, you know, the health care he can get in Boston? So I don't know. I mean, that feels like a big variable. I know it would be for me if I had a son or a daughter who was sick. But either way, like, I just don't see how they can let him go, Mike. What's the alternative? Where are they going to go?
They're going to go with some option, and we're going to look at it and go, you've got to be kidding me. That's what they're going to do. Because they're not afraid to do it. The Bill has been categorically proven to not care when people look at his returns in a trade or personnel moves or anything like that and go, are you kidding me? He could care less. They're going to shove some jabroni there at left tackle, and we're going to say, are you kidding me? And that's what Bill's going to do. That's just a gut. They're not going to give Nate Solder that money. Just purely a gut. They're not going to do that. Jimmy, you can open the phones, please. 617-779-0985, starting off with NFL and NFL free agencies. That's one jumping off point from the Bennett thing. What?
So I just wanted to add something quickly on Solder because I was reading Tom Curran here earlier. Okay? Solder plays just about every game every year. The only year where he missed any significant time was 2015. Do you remember what happened that year?
2015.
They went to Denver and Brady got killed.
It all mushes together. Yeah. Okay, so what happened to the team? I thought you were going to say what happened to him. I don't remember his injury.
So I just think that, you know...
2015, yes, they missed him desperately.
Badly. Badly. And I remember at the time thinking when they lost him, saying, ooh, as much as I dump on him, I want him out there. I do. I want him out there. I think he's a legit left tackle in the NFL. He's not one of the top... six in the league or something like that, but he is a legitimate left tackle. And if they don't have him, forget it. I don't feel great about that offensive line at all.
Okay,
anyway.
So the other thing I have on the Bennett piece is, again, this is based off Rappaport's report, which might be wrong, okay, but it's still a jumping off point. Whether the Pats were really in on Bennett or not, it really doesn't matter because I think you can look back at some of the Patriots' past moves where Bill just sort of dealt within his own narrow circle and didn't open it up to the whole league and it came back to bite him, right? I mean, again, the whole Garoppolo thing is a prime example. He either wanted to take care of the player or he liked the Shanahans or he liked John Lynch or something, like some sort of other factor that just sort of led Bill to not shop him. Remember we talked to Jay Glazer at the Super Bowl. I'm going to play this sound. We went and dug it up. But Jay Glazer at the Super Bowl told us they didn't shop Chandler Jones either. They didn't shop Jamie Collins. They didn't shop Randy Moss when they traded him to Minnesota. Jay Glazer will tell you that when it came time to trade Randy Moss, Bill still had a soft spot for Randy Moss and wanted to send him to someplace that Randy would like. And Randy wanted to go back to Minnesota. So they sent him to Minnesota and they didn't shop Randy Moss. And this is sort of a track record of Bill. And to this year, and so to Bennett, you know, you hear first that they got in too late on him. They got in too late on, and why is that? Are they not communicating around the league, or they just start talking in their own little tight little circle that Bill, he just wants to talk to his boys, and so he misses things around the league or doesn't look at other possibilities around the league? Is that what was going on with Michael Bennett? And I wondered about that. Now, again, you call bullcrap that the Pats got in late. Greg Bedard has sort of shot that down, so maybe the Bennett thing doesn't apply. But the Jimmy Garoppolo thing applies. The Chandler Jones thing applies. A lot of other things apply. So this is just a thought when the Patriots go into free agency. It's okay, Bill, to let people know you need things. Because I think that's what psychologically is at the root of it. He just can't bring himself to admit that he might have a need. I don't have any needs.
He doesn't want to look weak.
Yeah, I don't like. I mean, just. I mean, you'll hear it coming up at the draft too. He'll be asked about needs, and he'll say, "Well, you don't draft for need, you know, because he doesn't want to admit that he has a need. Like it's just sort of a weird psychological thing with him. And I think by casting a wide net across the league, he's sort of admitting to the league, "I need you. I have something. I need your help with something." You know, he always wants to have the leverage and be in a position of strength. I choose where you go. I choose who I talk to. I don't need the league. I don't need to shop this pick. I'm just going to deal with my boy here. To which I say, can we cut the crap on that this offseason? Can we, if you're trading Brandon Cooks, can you just let the league know you're trading Brandon Cooks and take the highest bid, no matter where it comes from?
Yeah, make more than one phone call, please.
Yes, would you please?
Yeah.
And I don't care if you know the GM or not, or if you've done business, you know, and it just got me thinking again, like there were years and years they wouldn't do business with the Colts. Wouldn't do business with the Colts. And why? Because of Deflategate or because of they hated Polian? Or what? Isn't that at the end of the day kind of dumb? Isn't that kind of dumb? Isn't that biting your nose to spite your face? What if the Colts could give you the best offer?
See, but
what if the Colts could give you an offer that you could take to another team and drive up the price? But you wouldn't even take the call from Polian because you think he's an a-hole? Which he is, by the way. But why would you close the window there? That's not what's best for the team. That's just some sort of personal grudge. And by the way, I think that one extended beyond Bill. But that's not a smart way to do business. If you tell me you don't do deals with the Jets, well, I sort of get that. In division, that's hard to ask for. But just because you got some sort of grudge against another team, you're not going to take a phone call or do business with them? Even if you don't want to do business with them, take the offer and go back to someone else. And so I just, is it time to open the windows a little bit? If you're going to be doing these deals, shop Brandon Cooks. Don't just call your boy across the league. But we'll get into more of this and your thoughts.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mez.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5. The Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
It was a pretty hot and heavy 3 days for the Seahawks, who have known they wanted to try to trade him and actually got a little bit of hotter market than they anticipated. It was the Philadelphia Eagles who did end up with him for a fifth-round pick and Marcus Johnson. They also get a seventh with Bennett. The Atlanta Falcons offered a late-round pick as well, and this deal was supposed to be done yesterday morning. And then, Dan, the New England Patriots came in and tried to make an offer, even though the two sides had basically agreed. But what they did instead of taking the Patriots offer was just hit pause, take a breath, consider all things. The Eagles did a lot of research into the kind of person that Michael Bennett was. In the end, they decided to make the trade and beef up their defensive line.
So hold on. They had agreed with the Patriots essentially verbally to make this trade?
No, the Eagles had agreed with the Seahawks essentially. And then the Patriots came in with a big offer. And then all sides had to hit pause.
Gotcha.
And in the end, the Seahawks stuck with the original offer.
That's got to be aggravating. Like, that would be another thing we'd put on the list and say, well, what the hell's going on down there?
Yeah, see, that's, again, I call bull crap, though. Like, I almost think this story was leaked by the Patriots to let people know they're in on big players. Like, that's the way my brain
thinks. What, the Pats are going to leak this to make us look purposely stupid? Like, we're late and not in touch with what's going on across the league?
No, just to make it clear that we had the best offer out there, but they sent him somewhere else. We can't control that. That's beyond us. What do you expect us to do? Like, and because the late thing, I don't believe. I don't believe that. If they came in late, lots of teams come in late and get players. What does that mean? To me, there's something missing there. And I guess ultimately it's where you think the information's coming from. I think it's coming from the Patriot camp, and I think they left out a detail, which is they probably wanted to redo the contract, and Bennett said no.
So Mass calls bull crap, as does Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Bedard writes that I was told the report was not accurate. The Patriots did not come in late with a big offer on Bennett. Now, I'm not saying the Rappaport is wrong, writes Bedard. Well, if the report's not accurate, then how could Rappaport be right? Anyway, I'm not saying Rappaport is wrong. Obviously, he heard it from someone and didn't just invent it. But there could be another explanation, like the Eagles wanting to make their deal sound better, or perhaps Seattle leaked out another team was involved to close the deal, but that wasn't really the case. That the Patriots were not involved would mesh with their method of operation. I've never heard of the Patriots being some Johnny-come-lately team on a deal. Usually they do their due diligence on any player who's available and then gauge their interest. I have a hard time believing Bill Belichick and or Nick Caserio just fell asleep at the wheel and then suddenly got involved at the last second on a player with Bennett's abilities. The Patriots are on the ball this time of year. I also have a hard time seeing the Patriots taking the $6.6 million cap hit in 2018 needed to acquire Bennett. He's still a good player, but he's 32. His play has started to dip, and he's got a lot of mileage on his tires. He's played at least 931 snaps in three of the past four seasons. Wow. Still, veteran players along the likes of Bennett, but at less money, would be the type of acquisitions I would expect them to be expect them to make to beef up the defense. All right, so that's Bedard. I think if Rappaport's right, it's another thing to be frustrated about. Is Bill just dealing within his close circle? And it's just, as Bill's gotten, you know, again, that Urban Meyer quote. Does he just extend it to everything? Which is, in his Urban Meyer quote, was he told Urban Meyer, the older I get and the longer I go in this profession, the more I just want to coach people I like. Which I think we all do. We want to work with people we like. But when Bill says that about a player, does that also extend to dealing with other GMs and other teams? And is there a psychology there that I'm not going to, you know, share my business with the whole league? I don't need the whole league.
Well, I think to a certain degree, he's always done it that way.
Okay, so, and I'll play the Jay Glazer sound coming up as well, but I want to mix in some phones. Here's Doug in Dorchester on Pats and Free Agency. Go ahead, Doug.
They'll never sign somebody good, and they'll never allow somebody to be signed that is decent because of the collusion. And that's the way the NFL goes. It's not like baseball where it's a free market and you have unlimited, you know, caps. So that's that, and that's that. I think it'll be.
Well, that's not true because last year they paid through the nose for Stephon Gilmore. And from time to time, they will pay. They are not a huge spending team. That is true. And typically, they're not going to lead the charge. But from time to time, they will dig deep, and they've done it in the past. And I think this is an era, this is a time frame with Brady where they should be digging deep. Because it really is about winning now.
I mean, to me, they're going to go get good players. I just have a hard time believing with the number of needs that they have that they're going to overpay for any one of them.
It's still going to be on their terms, is what you're saying.
Yes, yes. I mean, I think they're going to be after good players. I do, because they have holes. So there's no two ways. But again, I think they were in on Bennett. I think they also said, we'll do it, but you got to restructure. And Bennett said, no.
Chet in North Randolph. Hi, Chet.
Mike, been a long time.
Hi, Chet.
You know, unless there's locker room practice or behavioral issues with Cooks, I don't understand why anybody wants to trade him. Nobody suffered from Edelman's absence more than he did. He was hardly ever used in the role that they brought him here for and suits him best. You know, not only did chicks dig the long ball, so do old sports crankpots like me.
Let me tell you something, Chet. When the Patriots are totally healthy, okay, totally healthy, their current roster. Tell me when Tom Brady looks across the field, what his options are, 1 through 5. Who's 1?
Edelman.
2.
Gronk.
Okay, who's 3?
Should be Cooks.
Okay, Cooks is somewhere in there with Hogan, Amendola, right? I mean, wouldn't you say?
See, my answer on 3 would be, who cares?
Well, but Chet, so, I mean, or Deion Lewis or James White. You know, okay, so Cooks is in that group after those next two. Everybody that I just mentioned in that next group all makes $2-3 million. He makes 9.
Exactly.
Well, there's nobody else that can go along, Mike. It's an element of the game that I think they need to have.
Okay. I personally think it's overrated. Thanks for the call, Chet. I think it's overrated. But whether you think taking the top off the defense is important or not, Cooks is a third option on any given Sunday, but not the regular third option. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So even if he were the every week third option, even if he was locked into being the number 3 guy that Brady looks for, I still don't think the Pats want to pay that guy $9 million. And never mind any given Sunday, he could be the 4th or 5th guy on their radar. He's due to make almost as much as Gronkowski. And I think if you know, I just think that's going to be a factor for them. I think that's going to be a factor. But I'm telling you what, I think they're going to be more reluctant to pay Solder. And it's just a gut. It's just a gut feeling that I have. I mean, Cooks is 1 more year. They can justify it. 1 more year we traded for the guy. We sent a first-round pick for the guy. He's still young, okay? Still in his original contract. To get Nate Solder back, they have to outbid the league. And even in, you know, I understand there might be a hometown discount there, Mez. But you got to, that's a lot of upfront money. The real money on Solder is going to be much more because they're going to have to guarantee a bunch of money to get him to come back to make that offer competitive with the league.
See, I just think the guy plays a premium position. It's a spot that they need. And again, the drop-off there is huge for them. So this is why I say, would I rather pay a little more to keep Solder? Yes, absolutely. Brandon Cooks, see you later. Adios. I just don't think he's their kind of guy. The other thing is, Solder is one of their guys, by all accounts. Good citizen, real pro. You know, he's done all the things they've asked to do. You never hear him bitch about anything. anything.
No, he's been a good Patriot. There's no question.
I mean, that's a guy they should take care of.
I know. There's been a lot of guys they should take care of. He's also 30 and going to be the no lower than the fifth highest ranked free agent on the market. If you take out quarterbacks and franchise guys.
See, it's just Solder shouldn't be that tough, though. He shouldn't be that tough because I think all things being equal, I think he would take a little less to stay.
Okay.
They got to be close, though.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, if Solder out there gets $25 million guaranteed, I think the Pats are going to just, we're going to sign that over? I don't know. I have my doubts. So that's why I think Solder, I mean, if it were in a vacuum, yeah, Solder would be back. And it's going to take a lot of money to get him back. Seth and Pawtucket. Go ahead, Seth.
Hey, guys. My thoughts on the Bennett trade is, what if Seattle asked the Patriots if they would do that for Sherman instead of Bennett, and the Patriots either said no or we'll get back to you? Otherwise, it makes no sense. I don't get why Seattle would trade him to a team in their conference that just won the Super Bowl for a lesser deal. Just makes no sense.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Because they're ripping it apart. That's why.
Well, no, but here's why, caller. Here's why. He's wondering, why would Seattle still take a worse offer and sending him in conference to boot? Why wouldn't the Seahawks tell the Eagles to get lost for taking the Patriots' offer if the Rappaport report is true? And I'll tell you why. If they had a deal with Philly, if they had a handshake deal, yes, we're taking your deal. Fax us over the paperwork. And as the faxes are going through, here come the Patriots.
And then you're Josh McDaniels.
Right. Then you're...
Now you're backing out of an agreement, right? And you damage your own reputation and credibility.
Right. Certainly with that team, Howie Roseman would never look at you again. You know, so something like that. You just want to be, if you can believe it, it still exists, a man of your word. So that would be the only explanation. Or Ian Rappaport's report's not right. We continue with your thoughts. Patriots, NFL free agency, 617-779-0985. Here's Murray's update with the latest.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupable.
And Mass.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Jay Glazer from Fox Sports, I thought, gave us some great insight in terms of, it may not have been a Garoppolo thing, it just may have been about the way Bill Belichick does business. And I think the Jay Glazer opinion is relevant because I think Jay is sort of he's certainly not a Patriots bomb tosser, right? He's not someone who's got a grudge against the Patriots. He loves the Patriots. But he's just a super tapped guy who I think, frankly, cares more about the wrestling stuff than
the UFC stuff. Oh, he definitely does.
The
now,
MMA
yeah.
stuff than the football stuff. Like,
he's not trying to make a name for himself really in the NFL anymore.
Exactly. So I mean, this is why I said, like, Jay is sort of, he just knows things. I don't think he's trying to prove a point or get anything out there or create a headline or, like, he's got bigger fish to fry. He's just telling you what he knows. And so that's why I think his stuff is kind of valuable. This isn't some ESPN Patriots hater. you're going to start crying about that. This is just a guy who knows a lot, is tapped in, and I think has an interesting perspective. And so this is Jay Glazer with us. The Thursday of Super Bowl week. It's about a two-minute cut, but I think it's worth it. And it's ostensibly about the Garoppolo thing, but it sort of gives you insight into how Bill does business. Go ahead, Jimmy. What went down with that Garoppolo trade? It still doesn't seem right.
Well, I think at the end they realized, I do think they looked at hoping as long as they could to keep Garoppolo, and they realized it doesn't look like Tom's going anywhere. And in the end, you know, they might as well get something. And what the Patriots do also is they strategically do put people kind of where they want. Right? The Jamie Collins thing went down. Okay, you want out? We'll send you to Cleveland. Right?
So what was the strategy behind San Fran?
Because they love Garoppolo. So Lynch played there, which people forget. So him and Belichick are very close. And they put it out like it was him and the head coach.
Shanahan.
With the relationship he's had with Mike and Kyle. And that was part of it. But it was also John Lynch was a big part of this as well. They didn't open it up for everybody there. But I think in the end, if Tom's going to play in another few years, you can't have Jimmy back.
Okay, but that doesn't – so, I mean, I understand.
But I think they went into it this year thinking, okay, there's a good chance this could be it for Tom, and, okay, we got to figure something out. And I think eventually they just realized we're not going to be able to and Jimmy wanted to play.
Okay.
He was like, I don't want to wait anymore.
Why not take offers from other teams? I mean, I know if you want to do they, right by the player, Jay, right. But that's not what's in the best interest of the team.
That's not how they do business. They did it with Chandler Jones, too. They called the Cardinals, right?
They didn't shop him either?
They didn't shop me. They didn't open up, and I didn't understand it.
Why?
I got a call from the Cardinals asking about Chandler, you know, how he is, if he's – because obviously his brother John's had some issues. If they have similar issues, no, not at all. And they're saying that's how they do business. Everybody has a way in doing business. That's how the Patriots
Why?
Do business. I don't know. I'm not them. but it's worked out pretty well.
I mean, the wins and losses, but they could have gotten more for both players.
They could have just opened it up for the highest bidder, no doubt about it. For whatever reason, they don't do that. Even when they did Randy Moss to the Vikings.
It was, yeah, Vikings,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Bill did like Randy, right? And he's still, even that, he's like, and obviously there was a lot of tension going there. So he sent him somewhere. He could have sent him to the Abyss somewhere, but he didn't.
So why did they
don't open it up. They don't do that. They have certain teams that they know they can do business with. And that's it. They don't like their business out there.
And I just, boy, I hear that. I'm like, they don't like their business out there. Who cares if your business is out there? Why are you so paranoid and obsessed with your business being out there?
So do you think that that's entirely what it is? Because I'll tell you, I think it's something else too. And I think it's that, because Belichick looks at it and goes, third, fourth, what's the difference? Just trade him. Get it done. We got other stuff to do. Because to me, third, fourth, either way, I'm going to get some similar player and I'll coach him up and turn him into something decent.
How does that make you feel?
It irritates the crap out of me. Because I'm not a system guy. I'm a talent guy. I believe in both. But if you're going to ask me, you know, how far you're going to get with all system guys, you're going to go 11-5 and then you're going to lose into the playoffs to a more talented team. No matter how good a coach you are.
It's downright negligent is what it is.
Thank you.
You're not doing your due diligence.
Thank you.
Like, if I was the owner of the team and I really looked at this and was like, what? Have you really put in max effort to try to maximize the value on whatever the hell you're moving or to try to, you know, make a trade? Or that drives me crazy the more you actually peel this back and look at it.
I mean, again, you know, I mean, the Randy Moss one was a good one, too. I mean, I never even considered that. The players love Randy. Everyone kisses Randy Moss's ass because young players idolize Randy Moss. And if you piss off Randy Moss, you're worried about losing your locker room and a lot of young players who idolize Randy Moss. So Randy Moss gets his tuchus kissed pretty much wherever he goes. And so that's what Bill does here with the Minnesota Vikings. So that's why he didn't even shop Randy Moss. He wanted to take care of Randy Moss, so he sent him back to Minnesota where Randy wanted to go at the time. Now, of course, once Randy got there, became a giant a-hole and, you know, threw food back at the caterer in the locker room. Remember that whole story?
Sure.
But once again, Bill taking care of one of his guys. Randy, he considered one of his guys and wanted to take care of him, so he didn't shop him. He just sent him to a place that Randy would be comfortable. And with Garoppolo, they love, you know, you heard Jay say it. They love Garoppolo. And Bill has a real thing for John Lynch. Loves John Lynch.
Oh, to me, look, I felt that way from the beginning. Again, the day that Belichick made that statement, it was clear to me he wanted to do right by Jimmy G. And look, the thing that's astonishing to me is that, you know, he's been able to pull this off over the years. But think of it. He does the same thing in the draft. The draft is always who his buddies are. It's the coach at Rutgers. It's the coach at Florida. Wherever it is. It's Urban Meyer. It's Schiano. It's whoever else. Whoever his boys are. Somebody from the Naval Academy or the guy that was out at Fresno that had Mankins. Hill, right? Like, if I'm getting that right. Like, to me, it's always one of those. It's always one of Bill's buddies who's funneling him a player. And he just, to me, there's a, I don't want to say a disrespect for talent on his part. Because I don't think that that's fair. I think he respects talent. But I think he gets to a point where he says, 6-1, half dozen of the other. Why cause myself the headache? Send him here for the third and we're good. Like, and he does business with his guys, always.
And that's one thing when you're dealing with, some Scribini. But when Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, you could really get a substantially more valuable package back in return on Jimmy Garoppolo. And you don't do it. Because you love the player and you really like the GM you're dealing with. You say, send him out there.
Maybe this is why he's a better coach than he is a GM.
But I'm telling you, Chandler Jones, the fella had 17 and a half sacks last year. 17 and a half. Led the NFL. So metrically, just pure numbers, the best pass rusher in the league among them. You didn't call around. They didn't shop Chandler Jones.
It also makes me rethink this Marcus Peters thing, too, because remember, the Kansas City Chiefs, they called every team, includes the Patriots. So did Bill take that call, talk to Andy Reid, and Andy, because he's close friends with Bill, here's another one. You know, he was too much of a headache for me, Bill. Well, all right, well, if he's too much of a headache for you, it'd be one for me, too, even though he's one of the top five cornerbacks in the league. You know, like, is he just too plugged in with some of these guys that, you know, because out of the friendship, he's not going to make a deal? That's insane to me. Because, again, it's a league where, more than any other sport, the talent trumps the trouble.
Okay, I think that Glazer cut offers interesting insight. And so we'll discuss it coming up next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mindset is the win. Of course. It's a game. I mean, we putting on helmet, shoulder pads. You know what I'm saying? 70,000 or whatever going to be there. Mindset is to definitely win the game.
Rumored to be on the Patriots' radar and a possibility, as is Richard Sherman in Seattle. We've been talking about this for the better part of a week. You could have one of these two guys in New England. Who would you want? Maz had a developing opinion on the whole thing, though.
So I just think that, you know, hearing late yesterday that Sherman would not restructure his contract, I think that came out like right after we left the studio yesterday and we were off the air. And I thought, well, if he's not restructuring his contract, the Patriots aren't gonna bring him in.
No
and
shot.
And I missed it. It gives him the leverage because he's got 1 year left. So if he's not going to restructure his contract, who's going to trade for him? Nobody. Nobody's going to trade for him. So the Seahawks are going to have no choice but to release him, and then Sherman gets to pick where he wants to go. So Richard Sherman's no fool. The guy's clearly sharp. So he looks at it and says, why would I let you send me somewhere when I can decide on my own after you cut me? So cut my ass because I'm not redoing my contract, and then I'll decide where I want to go. And I think that this is a huge thing for the Patriots. And look, Tlaib's going to get released too. But the fact that there were two of them out there, this gives the Patriots the opportunity to play one off the other. Because if they both want to come here, and it sounds like they both do, then the Patriots say, okay, who's going to give us a better deal? We're okay with either one of you. We like you, Aqib, because you've been here before. But Richard, we know you. Tom likes you. We're good. And I sense that there is as much as there was that whole thing with Brady and Sherman going back years in what I call the Tavon Wilson, Sidney Rice game, not Simeon
yeah.
Rice. You know, to me, I think that there was a thing there with Sherman that they respect one another and they respect the competitiveness and all of that. And to me, the Patriots are in a prime spot there.
He was the first guy to shake his hand when he took the final knee in Super
right.
Bowl 49.
Absolutely.
So, again,
you remember that, too. That
oh,
image,
yeah,
it was a
yeah.
Great image that came out of that game, right?
Well, they're crybaby Patriots fans who still not, you know, the you mad, bro? Like, no one's ever got, who have gotten over that.
Ago,
like,
over
shove it.
It.
And you know what, by the way? You know who was right in that situation? Richard Sherman. I'll play the sound. Richard Sherman. This is on a Fox panel show where he describes what happened. And you tell me. Well, you tell me your thoughts after you hear Richard Sherman explain it himself, Jimmy. Go ahead.
You mad, bro?
It's funnier every time I see it.
I think Tom was mad.
He looked very happy.
Look how mad Tom is.
Wow. That's what happens, man. That's what happens.
Tell us what was the scenario that led to that picture, your conversations? What was going on?
Well, Tom Brady is a little more talkative on the field than a lot of people may be led to believe.
Everybody up here is like, yeah, he is.
He's competitive, right?
Yeah. He's incredibly competitive.
He's a great leader.
He's a fantastic leader and he's a fantastic ball player, I tell you right here.
But he does have his fair share of, you know, he came up to me and Earl, during TV timeouts, that's when the TV isn't on anybody. Nobody sees anything. And we're standing there talking about, you know, I think we're game planning, talking about route concepts, and he comes up like, so who are you guys? What you mean, who are we?
Oh,
who are you? And he's like, you know, we go back and forth for a little while, then he looks up at the scoreboard and looks back at us. He's like, come see me after this win. So after the game, they didn't win, but I still came and saw him, as I promised, and everybody got mad at me.
It's your fault.
It's my fault.
Yep.
And that's why you asked him why he invited you, and then he was mad, so you asked him, you mad, bro?
Oh, man. I just wanted to know why.
Make sure I get my T-shirt. I want my T-shirt, too.
We got to get him.
Extra medium.
That's weird.
Look at this.
Look at what we have. There you go.
Bro.
You mad, bro?
Yes.
I love those colors, man.
Yeah, these are nice, right?
They're smooth. They look good right there.
So Brady was the one that was...
Hey, talk trash, it goes wrong for you, expect repercussions. That's what happens.
Brady says, come see me after the game, because Brady's, you know, again, putting his thing out there, waving it in his face, we're going to beat you, scoreboard, come see me after the game. And so the Seahawks won, and Sherman come and saw came, went in, and Sherman's the bad guy.
Oh, no. See, I always felt like...
The you mad, bro? Is freaking brilliant. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's great.
It's tremendous.
Please, it's awesome. And again, I got the sense after that Super Bowl in 2014, that game, that image to me is one of the best images of that game. You know, but Brady was down on a knee. Sherman went over and put his hand down to shake his hand. Yeah, to me, that's like, that is what the league should be right there.
So I've always liked Richard Sherman, and I do think he's a smart guy. And you know what? The more I hear this, you know, there's this whole pushback against Richard Sherman. People say he's a smart guy because he went to Stanford, which I do give him credit for. Like, naturally, like I would give anyone who goes to a good school, I give them credit for going to a good school. I think kids that come out of Harvard are smart. I look at you who went to Tufts, magna cum laude. I say, yeah, he's kind of smart. That's one of the reasons.
Yeah, I wasn't magna, but thank you.
Okay, but I give credit to people who go to the good Ivy League schools. I mean, don't we in business? Anyone who comes out of a guy comes out of Brown, you say he must be a pretty smart guy. He went to Brown. Or I mean, but Richard Sherman comes out of Stanford, and we're not allowed to say he's a smart guy because he went to Stanford?
You know, but even in his case, that's part of it. It's also beyond that. He's sharp.
So the point is, he is smart.
He is smart.
That's why he goes to
Jordan Richards went to Stanford, too, and I couldn't tell you. If I talked to him for 5 minutes, I might think he's an idiot. I have no idea.
I've never heard him speak. I have no idea.
But this guy's sharp.
I've heard plenty of Richard Sherman to know that the guy's smart. And, yep, smart folks go to Stanford, and he's one of them. So, sorry if he's in your face or he got his dreads or he's got a certain thing that you don't like about him. The fella's smart. And the fact that he went to Stanford is one of the reasons I know he's smart. Because for the most part, you come through those schools, you're a pretty smart cookie.
Well, and to me, look, he in a lot of ways.
And I'm sorry, any businessman, any white-collar businessman in a Brooks Brothers suit who comes out of an Ivy League school, you say he's smart because he went to an Ivy League school. Why wouldn't you say it about him?
Oh, listen, you're not getting any argument from me on Sherman.
And he is smart.
And I'll tell you what, I even say take the college out of it. Just listen to him. Watch him. He's sharp. He gets it. And beyond that, to me, in a lot of ways, he'd be a perfect Patriot. The guy competes his ass off. And a lot of ways, I wonder whether or not he's actually a little bit more than, like I told you, I would pick Tlaib first. Okay, if you said they're same money, same everything, I'm picking Tlaib. Now, that said, I will take whichever guy gives me the better deal at the end of the day because I think that's going to matter to them. And I think they have enough needs where it's a factor. Sherman, I think, might be tougher than Tlaib. And when I say tougher, I think he's a better run game player. I think he's built more stoutly. Tlaib's got a pure, 100% pure corner body. And again, I would pick Tlaib. But in a lot of ways, Sherman fits him better.
So, you're talking football. I focus as a talk show host as much on, you know, that off-field thing and just the personality and how each, you know, Sherman's a smart cookie. He'll talk your face off. He's trying to save the world, and that'll drive you nuts. You know, like, please, would you spare me with this? Can we just go win the football game and save the world on another day? And so, I mean, Sherman has his own sort of issues. Just too smart or wants to tell you how smart he is or talk your face off about this, that, or the other. Where, you know, Tlaib just has a whole nother.
He's crazy.
He's entertaining in another way. I mean, what was the one where he was trying to get in shape? What was the one you got from the locker room for me today?
Time right now in this month? May? June? Or May?
May.
May. It's time to get in shape, man. That's all we're worried about right now. That's all I'm worried about right now, man. Getting in good shape, man. Best shape I can be in. Double shirts, you know. Out here trying to get hot as possible, man. Get a good sweat. Get in some good shape.
He's just a different, you know. I don't think he went to Stanford.
No.
No, but, streets but in North Dallas. That's where he was.
But I'll tell you what, education. Like, I look at him, and this is maybe he's a good case. You know, he's a different animal. There's a sharpness to Tlaib, too. Don't kid yourself.
That's different, though.
Yes, totally different. I mean, definitely different. But I don't think you're pulling the wool over his eyes either now. Like, he is, and he's a badass. Well, he is a complete badass.
I think Sherman is, too. Jimmy, play Sherman after post-game locker room after that Brady game.
We're better than you. You're just a man. We're a team. You're a single man. It's the Brady bunch. This is the defense. You know, we got 11 players out there that play great ball. And, you know, we're never going to just let one man beat us. You know, because it's not about one man. If they got 11 players out there executing their offense, then they're a hell of a team. But one man cannot just beat a team. I am pretty jacked. And I wish I was going on NFL Network to tell all of them exactly how I feel. But I don't get a chance. But if y'all could let them know, that'd be great.
So again, there's a more hateable quality to Sherman. Like, he'll talk your face off.
I mean, he does. He comes off like he's talking down to you a little bit. He's a little bit of smugness there. Tlaib's just like, I think, do you remember the old Starsky and Hutch, the Huggy Bear character on Starsky and Hutch?
Sorry, Maz, you're not going to get me on that one.
Oh my, you don't remember that show?
I don't.
Oh my God.
I remember the show. I don't remember what you're talking about.
He was the coolest street guy going. And to me, that is Tlaib, and he's a badass on top of it.
All right, how's that pop culture reference, Boston? You get that one? Snuggy Bear on Starsky and Hutch?
Huggy.
That is current for you right there, man. I'm telling you. That's going to hit right in the core of the demo.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.